the knowledge of the self. And probably it was this knowledge that first of all sparked your interest and made you continue with the course. Is that right? I can see many indicating that. Certainly it's true for me. And I think for many, many others who I've had conversations with. But it's interesting for me that this season in particular, I think practically every Murali has been about soul consciousness, soul consciousness, soul consciousness. And yes, within a gathering, there are always Baba's children who've come for the first time, but they've also been coming for several months. And they've been hearing the Sakar Muralis that also remind us about soul consciousness. And Baba also knows that there's many 20, 30, 40, 50, 70 year olds in the gathering who are hearing the same Muralis. And Baba is still underlining the subject for us. And so it's a very powerful reminder that I think I may know myself, but there are still things that I need to do to go deeper and deeper and deeper into silence and see what is there that I can uncover to be able to reach that purest original state of being of the soul, so that I'm able to emerge it here and now. And I know that that's the stage I will go back home with, because that's the stage that I will then come down into the cycle with. And in a way it's a little bit scary, in the sense that if Baba asks us, are you ready? And easy for us to say, yes, I'm ready. But think about what ready means. It means that this is the stage I go home with, and this is the stage I come down with. Now, according to my stage today, where would I be in the golden age? Am I a self-sovereign? And so would I be able to have sovereignty? Am I Sato Pradhan, the fullness of Sato? Not just Sato, but Sato Pradhan, that total, complete stage. And so, obviously there's work I need to do. You can look at yourself and see what you have to do, but I know that there's work I need to do. Because I don't want to come into Satyug a few hundred years after Satyug has started. I want to come to Satyug at the beginning. You know, when we see spring and the first flowers blossom in spring, they're really very, very beautiful. One of the reasons I enjoy going back from Madhuban to London in April is because I'm usually there to see the first green that's shining through on the trees and the grass and the flowers that are coming through. So spring is very beautiful. By the time it's summer, it's different. It's nice, but it's different. Same thing, golden age, the very start and the beauty and the power and the purity of that time. And then a little later and a little later, it's different. And so it means that there's work I have to do now to get myself to that stage that would then entitle me to bring me into the start of the golden age. And I'm seeing that the first gift we get from Baba, when we come to Baba, is the awakening of the intellect. Somehow, whether it's my desire for truth, my love for truth, that's kept me going through the Copper Age and the Iron Age, and it's brought me to this point where I recognize God, because probably some of your friends also took the course with you. Maybe you came in a group, and how many survived out of that group? For most of you, probably only you. The rest of the group, maybe they made it to the end of the course, maybe they didn't even make it that far, maybe they made it to morning class, maybe not even that. And so you're the lucky one, the one who is able to have the gift of the divine intellect and keep that gift. And of course, when I talk about conscience, and in particular the power of conscience as a topic, the conscience is one aspect or one function of the buddhi. I'm not going to use the word intellect because it's not complete. It doesn't carry the full meaning. And so I'll keep the word buddhi. And I think everyone here is very familiar and comfortable with this word buddhi. So Baba gives us the gift of this divine buddhi, divya buddhi. And yes, at least it's to whatever extent clear enough to be able to know I'm a soul, to be able to know this is Baba. And I begin my journey of yoga, the pilgrimage of remembrance. And my conscience is beginning to awaken. And I begin to see what Daddy was talking about this morning, the huge contrast of the stage of introversion and the stage of extroversion. Until the awakening of the buddhi, and with that the awakening of the conscience, I didn't even know that I was being extrovert. I thought somebody who was making jokes and making people laugh, that was extrovert. I didn't realize that I was extrovert in the sense that all the stimulation of the external and all my senses responding to that, that was extroversion. I didn't even know that. And so here's Baba now waking up the buddhi and now giving me enough understanding so that at least I can recognize that I was being extrovert, or when today I'm being extrovert, I should be able to understand that and recognize that. And the state where, yes, in introversion, I'm able to go deep into myself, and in that inner silence, I'm able to connect with God and feel Baba's presence and Baba's love. And one of the reasons why, of course, we're not able to connect with Baba and feel Baba's love is we're still caught up in the external senses, the things I see, I hear, I do, I taste, all of these externals. And to go beyond all of that and go deep inside is another journey. And so the process of jnana is that, yes, my conscience begins to awaken, and truly it had been asleep because I hadn't even known what I was doing was wrong. And when Baba's talking about all the subtle forms of Maya, it's the buddhi that has to be clear enough to be able to recognize those. And that aspect of the buddhi, which is the conscience, has to then be able to protect me so that I do the right things at that moment, not to get trapped by the forms of Maya that are around me or that are inside of me. I chose this subject because it's one that we all need to reflect on. And what I'm going to share is not even a lecture or a class in that way, but just talk us through that process of what it means to allow the conscience to truly be my guide at all times, and for me to be able to hold Baba's hand of Srimat at all times, so that then the conscience connected with Baba, so that I understand Srimat, and the conscience filled with Baba's power, so that I'm able to move in that direction at every step, and so that truly the influence of my mind, which also then means my sanskars, and the influence of other human beings doesn't affect me. The three words that Baba uses, you're very familiar with. Parmat, the influence of others. Manmat, the influence of my mind and sanskars. And then Srimat. And you can see why yoga and Srimat are totally connected. It's the same faculty within my own awareness, within my own consciousness, that is responsible both for understanding Srimat, following Srimat, and also for yoga. My mind, the creation of my thoughts and feelings, that's a separate process. It's just a tiny point of light that I am. And in silence I go inside and I can feel that's who I am, this tiny point of light. But it's useful to take it as a model and divide it up and segregate the different functions of this point of light and the energy that's within it. Because there are different energies at work within the soul. And so the thoughts, the feelings, the sanskars, all totally connected on one side. And in the state before Gyan, then it's thoughts and feelings and sanskars and the stimulation of the senses and the dependency on human beings that's making me make my choices and move along. And the result of all of that, bondage, pain, dependency, and all the things of Kali Yuga. But I didn't know the mechanism of what was happening. And so now Baba tells me, you have to follow Srimat. And if I'm quibbling about it, if I'm negotiating with Baba about following Srimat, what is it that's going on? The conscience hasn't truly recognized Baba. On one level, yes, Baba is my father, and I know that this is the only one I have, and I don't want to go anywhere else or do anything else, so yes, there is that faith. But to be able to truly accept that the Srimat that Baba is giving me is the only path I want to take, and not allow my mind and sanskars and other people to influence me and move me off track. That's the whole process of this journey. And within that, Baba Smriti is really the way to keep on track and to make sure that I'm moving to my destination. As human beings, we are used to creating our comfort zones, and we're used to taking support and taking help. And we didn't think that that was bondage. We thought, well, that was what human life is about. But with Baba's Gyan, I begin to see that it is bondage. Here's a person, and I'm working with them in service, and we're compatible, and so it's comfortable. It's easy to work with them. And at what point of time is it that instead of first asking the question, what does Baba want, I find myself asking the person, well, what should we do? How should we do it? What is it you want? It happens in a very natural and subtle way that we don't even realize that it's not what should be happening. We think it's communication. We think it's good that we're in harmony and we're working together. And that's how it should be. And yet, of course, that human has influenced my intellect and my conscience to the point where instead of absolutely the line of Srimad coming in, it's the human influence that's coming in. Before we come to Baba, why the influence of everything has made the intellect so weak and the conscience practically dead is the same thing, that we were so dependent on human beings and so all their ideas were influencing us. Peer pressure. Sometimes we knew we shouldn't be doing things, but people around us were telling us to do things, and so that also was influencing me. And I just simply went along for the sake of convenience or comfort. But it's the same thing happening today in my Brahman life. Is it truly Baba who's my guide? When Baba says Guru, then the word that Baba uses with Guru is Srimat. So if I translate Guru as guide, it's a good explanation of what the role of the Guru is, to guide me to salvation, to guide me beyond this world to the world that's up there and that's ahead of me. And so yes, Baba, my Satguru, the true Guru, who's able to give me that information and that instruction by which I'm able to move towards that destination. And so Baba is the one with whom I have yoga. Internally, I listen to what Baba is saying, Srimad. And so internally, my connection, my buddhi, yoga, is with Baba also. A human being comes into the picture. I'm seeking the opinion of a human being. I'm valuing it. I'm taking that on board instead of first thinking of what is Srimad. Now, I'm not discarding communication, team building, consensus, all of that in terms of service is absolutely right and that's how it should be. But deep down inside, for me to know that it's Baba who's the one who's going to give me the right instruction, and my communication with Baba at Amrit Vela in terms of anything major that's happening in my life, and little things also that are happening in my life, means that buddhi yoga stays with Baba and the conscience continues to receive power from Baba and the buddhi stays continuously alive to be able to recognize all the variety, manifold forms of Maya that may come along, which they do, different ways, different forms, but the buddhi should be clear enough and powerful enough to be able to see them, otherwise it's lost. So I've been talking about the influence from humans, and BKs with whom I live and work with, and it's important to have harmony. But Srimat, and then within that, all the other Manmat can be merged. If it's one Srimat first, then the other ideas of human beings all can be absorbed within that. And harmony is immediately the outcome, the result of that. Where there isn't harmony, it's because the Srimat isn't being followed, and then all the different Manmats come in and create a chaos and confusion. And so let me be able to have that buddhi yoga with Baba so powerfully that I am able to see where it is that influence is coming. The other side, the Manmat, and there it's, yes, my idea, my thought. How many times has Baba talked to us about this season? And it was interesting in the recent revision course, Murali, Baba talked about being able to give regard to the ideas of others, and so important, but not regard to the idea of one other, but to be able to give regard to the ideas of all others around me equally. So there's the difference, where it's one individual who I'm willing to listen to, as distinct to all my colleagues, all my team, my whole group, my family. There's something that's not quite right there. And so where Baba is saying that just as I think my idea is right, and is there a tendency to think that? Well, Baba's telling us that there is, so it must be. Whether I agree or I don't, but Baba's telling me that this is what keeps happening, that you keep thinking that my idea is the right one, so let me listen. It's a very powerful statement from Baba. But the Murali, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and Baba saying that that state in which the intellect thinks I am right, but also the ideas of those around me. Am I willing to accept all of those also as being right? And yes, in service, that adjustment and flexibility, that's okay. But the instruction, the direction that I'm going in, that's the thing that's coming from one. And then on the other side, this thing about Manmat. And I'm thinking about not just the conscious thoughts, but there was something that Dadi had said not recently, I don't remember when, but every so often she's touched on it. And she talks about this thing called chit. Remember? Some of you recognize this word, and sometimes we translate chit as memory track, and sometimes we translate chit as the subconscious, and it is both. So the experiences that I've been through that are recorded within me, and I'm not into psychology, so forgive me if the terms I'm using clash with the definitions you've heard in the world of psychology out there. But just in terms of my understanding of Gyan, the conscious level of thoughts, and then below that, the subconscious level, in which you have been through experiences, and all those experiences are recorded within me, and they're the memories of this birth, this present time. And there are the very deep memories of past births, and those experiences that are recorded within the self, we describe as sanskaras. And yes, those sanskaras throw up the thoughts, but also the memories recorded from this birth, and some things I recall very clearly, other things I don't recall so clearly of this birth, but a person will begin to talk to you and they'll remind you and they'll say, do you remember this thing happened and that thing happened and you said this and I said this and this is where we were? And it sort of begins to stir within you. And you begin to say, oh yes, I remember. Oh yes, I remember that now. As they're speaking, the whole picture is gradually opening up and emerging in your awareness. Had that experience? So that's the chip. There's an imprint that's there, but it's not in the foreground of my consciousness, my awareness, but it's definitely there. And why I'm talking about this now is because the power of the mind and the mischief of the mind definitely makes the buddhi go astray. If the thoughts are very, very powerful, and when negative thoughts come, they come as a sledgehammer. When positive feelings and positive thoughts come, they come gently, they come softly. Now this is a fact of science, of positive psychology. Now this I do know. Positive psychology tells us that when it's negative thoughts and negative feelings, they come as a sledgehammer. And when it's positive thoughts and positive feelings, they come very gently, they come very quietly and very softly. And most times they don't stay for long. The negative stuff stays, the positive stuff doesn't. And that's the situation in the world out there. And when we come to Baba, with Baba's power, what we're doing is transforming the pattern of thinking of the mind. And so that where Baba Smriti, why? The question why? And in times before, that question why would have taken you on a whole spin of negativity and left you feeling very bad. And now Baba says fly. And why? And your buddhi instantly gives you several answers about how to deal with this question why. And instead of letting your thoughts take over at that time, jnana takes over. So it's not your thoughts from your sanskars, but the buddhi that's now filled with jnana is generating, is infusing. And so the thoughts that are now beginning to arise are thoughts with which you can see the whole situation very differently and you're able to fly. Okay? So there's a level of thoughts, and connected very much with that, feelings. But there's this hidden level of the chit. And so my memory track. And so everything seems to be okay. You've had good Amrit Vela, you've had a Murali that you've enjoyed, and there's been good stimulus from the things in the Murali, and so the buddhi is on track. And then something happens again, and all sorts of other feelings begin to come up. And in this case, it's not even somebody said something or something happened on an external level. It's just something that's been triggered within. Mm-hmm. And within that, the external thing is insignificant, nothing very much. But the memory track that's recorded all sorts of things from past experiences, things are being thrown up, and where the buddhi was okay, and the buddhi was guiding things in the right direction, and the conscience was very clear and straight, now the feelings and the things from the chit are now impacting the soul again. And so the conscience isn't on track anymore. The buddhi is not connected with Baba in terms of yoga anymore. And if I understand this mechanism, and I just use one very simple technique that Baba has given us again and again and again, and that is the point. Just go back to being a point. Don't even try to analyze. Don't even go into trying to sort out. But just go back to being the point. And let things become calm. Connect with the point, with Shiv Baba. And let Baba's influence work on you. So Baba's color is impacting you. And the soul's able to become calm and peaceful. And it gives a chance for the intellect again to gain some strength and power from Baba. It gives an opportunity for the conscience to again become strong. Otherwise, you let the memory track take over, and the buddhi isn't connected with God. The chit is creating all sorts of ripples inside. Vindati first used to say this, that on the path of effort, the process of cleaning is not just the cleaning of the mind, but it's also the process of cleaning of the chit. And it's the chit that interferes in your journey. I heard it, I accepted it, because here's a master who's had decades more experience than me. But I didn't work it out for myself. And this is why whatever it is you're hearing, it makes sense. It is right. You know it is right. But where Baba says, experiment with every aspect of jnana, and then it will become real for you. That's how it was. It was when I started looking at it from my own personal perspective and seeing, well, what is it that's there within the chit? And how is it that I can clean it out? That then things became not just clear, but things fell into place. And now I know how to take it up further and move further in my own journey. And so the process of cleaning out the chit, how does that happen? And I'm connecting it absolutely with the power of the conscience, because the conscience awake, clean, alert, my guide, Shiv Baba my guide, but my conscience connected with my guide, so my conscience is guiding me in the right way. It's everything works out well. And my buddhi yoga with Baba, there's power. And so things come up from the sanskars in the mind. You can deal with them. You don't allow them through into action. But because the chitta is so subtle, when it's coming up, you don't realize that that's what's happening. And so, understanding that there is this aspect of the memory track, and within that, in particular, it's connected very much with human beings. Look back on your own memories, and what is it about? Yes, it's places, that places on their own don't have significance in a sense. It's the people in those places that you're associating with, and then those places have a special impact in your awareness and in your consciousness. I just want to sidetrack for a moment and just talk about language, because I'm aware that consciousness is one word and conscience is another word, and I'm aware that in translation sometimes the two aren't always clear. So consciousness, just the state of the soul and the soul being aware. I am conscious, I have awareness. And so consciousness is, whether it's soul consciousness, awareness of the soul, body consciousness, awareness of the body. So the word consciousness is just related to spirituality or materialism. But conscience, a part of the soul, the buddhi. And then I know also that mind and conscience in some languages are the same. And so I'm going to leave you to sort it out in your own languages. But this is why the buddhi and vivek, and these two words, vivek I haven't used, have I, so far, but that's what conscience means. And so the word is quite distinct there. And so within my memory track are people and places, but the important thing in terms of karma is actually the karma I've had with people. And so the chit filled with good memories, and I keep those memories alive consciously, then that's going to be helpful in keeping my conscience very powerful and strong and clear. And other memories which take away my energy, those memories are going to pull my conscience down. When we come to Madhuban, one of the beautiful things is that I always think how Baba chose a perfect spot, Mount Abu, so that not only do we meet beautiful people and Baba and the Dadis and the whole family here, but the backdrop to all those places is also very beautiful. It's very picturesque, and just look out of the windows in many of the places, or just go out on the terrace and those beautiful images are captured in here, and they're very, very powerful and helpful. The Tower of Peace, again, just that image, keeping that in your awareness, again, very powerful. The meetings with Baba and the beauty of the stage. Early days, it used to be very simple, and today it's very beautiful. And so either, both, but keeping those images, Brahma Baba's face, a beautiful face to keep in your chit. So to keep all these beautiful images in your memory bank, and to use those to stay with the right feelings, the right awareness, and to keep the buddhi connected with Baba, and the conscience very clear and alive, is very powerful. My sanskars definitely influence my conscience. Absolutely. If my sanskars are of anger and I allow my conscience to be influenced by my sanskars, then what's happening is that I'm justifying why I was angry and why it was right that I was angry. That's one little example. My sanskar of dependency and attachment. And again, my conscience at that time really doesn't know right from wrong at all. And it's not only the history of Kali Yuga that's full of all of this, but it's all the story of Brahman life. and number-wise, according to effort, is the effort of keeping the buddhi completely pure and clean, keeping the conscience very clear and straight, absolutely the compass guiding me, and not allowing my sanskars to impact me. My most recent sanskars, and it's true for everybody who comes to Baba, because where did we all come from? We all came from Kali Yuga. And so nobody came to Baba without ego and anger and lust and greed and attachment. It's not possible. We come from the same place, we've been coloured by the same things, and we're moving to a very different place. But the guarantee, the assurance that we have, that deep down within the soul, there is that original purity, there is that original truth, there is that original peace and love, absolutely in its purest form. And it's that faith that allows me to keep working on myself and keep moving forward. Without that faith in Baba and the Self, then you'd just be moving with the wind, this way and that way. And this is why Baba says, courage. Faith in the Self, and as a result of that faith, that courage, just keep moving, just keep moving. And even if sanskars at times have influenced my conscience, it's okay. At least now I know. Now Baba has been able to open a window and make me look through that window and see what's going on, and so keep moving. The transformation of sanskars takes a long time, and Baba knows that. But to keep moving in the right direction, the transformation of the buddhi doesn't take a long time. That's simply keeping Baba, soul consciousness, and Baba's jnana in this receptacle. Today's Murli. Don't listen to other stuff. Don't listen to other things. Just keep the buddhi very, very clean. Let it be jnana. And in that exchange with others, also let it be jnana. And if the buddhi is kept clean, the conscience has a chance to survive. If the buddhi isn't kept clean, then part of that whole aspect of the self is the conscience. And so I'm allowing other things to enter. The conscience can't work properly. And so stories from human beings, stories about human beings, combined with my own sanskars, is a combination of this. Other people can be saying whatever they are saying, but if I'm very clear about what I need to do and what I have to do, there's no impact. But my sanskars of interest in stories of others, and I allow myself to listen, and that influence begins to work. So really, just to explore with all of you the subtle mechanism of all of these things, so that then keeping the conscience very, very powerful, keeping the buddhi very clean, I stay connected with Baba. And really, it's Baba Srimad that's guiding me and moving me. And I know it'll be fine. I'll reach my destination. Even the process that Baba's asked us to look at, this last Murli, to what extent have I eliminated everything else? Have I been able to remove waste thoughts? Have I been able to change my sanskars? Have I been in all the things that Baba keeps giving us for homework? I'm able to do all that homework and do it with honesty, genuinely, if the conscience is kept very straight up above all these other influences. And so, in silence, just to be able to see, what is it that's influencing me? And how those influences are working, and to make sure that I go above that, beyond that, and let myself stay with God, with Srimad. And then the power of the Buddhi Yoga will create that energy, that fire, which is able then to burn my old sanskars and settle my sanskars, so that then, yes, the burden is being lifted and all that is being removed. You're seeing a very beautiful stage that's already been decorated in preparation for tomorrow. You've been hearing about Holi, and this morning's Murli, that there's two aspects to Holi. One is the burning, and don't go outside. But if you were outside, what you would see is lots of bonfires. But of course, here in Baba's home, we don't need a physical bonfire. But what we'll do tomorrow is to have a symbolic fire, and you can put in your slips of paper of whatever it is you want to burn away. So today, think about what it is you want to burn, what it is you want to finish. The sanskars, the impure memories that hold you down in bondage, to clean up the memory track. What is it that you want to get rid of? Write to Baba and put it in the fire tomorrow. Tomorrow in the morning we'll be having bhog, and we'll be having a special celebration for Holi. Very pure, very sattvic. But in the evening, we'll have a special celebration program, cultural program. But we'll also have the yajna, the fire, in which you'll be able to put your slips of paper. And so that'll be tomorrow. Baba, I hadn't remembered this particular sakar murli of Baba differentiating how yoga is the purification through the burning, and then the colouring of Gyan. But yes, while I still hold on to the rubbish, God's colours can't impact me. I can't absorb the things that God wants to give me. And so burn all that, and then you'll be able to absorb all that God wants to give you. So just see how your feelings, your memories, can all become totally pure and clean with Baba's love. And as all of that is cleansed, then yes, your conscience will work very, very powerfully and accurately and guide you. And if feelings come up and other memories have come up and all of that is a jumble and a mess, then there really is no clarity in the way in which I want to go, what it is I have to do. Just today, I was reading an email from somebody who's written that they're feeling very confused. And the reason for their confusion is very simple. Because on the one side, they're saying that they want Baba's love and protection and that safety. And on the other side, they're saying that they're so attracted by all the things that are happening in the world, and they want to see the world. And from where I sit, I can see that it's a total contradiction. On the one side, you're saying, I want to go around and see the world. And on the other side, you're saying that this is what I want. And so you can see how our desires, our wants, all of that, not our needs. Our needs, Baba will always take care of. But our desires, and I want, I this, all of those come up, and that storm really shakes the conscience again. So my desires shake my conscience. My attachments shake my conscience. any one of my old sanskars, my ego shakes my conscience. And so this is why Baba is saying, let go. Let go and just take Baba's light and Baba's love and burn away all the other things and just keep moving to your destination. And out of all of Baba's muralis, again, the sense of urgency, right? Time to move, time to move very, very quickly and reach that goal of total purification, that original stage that I had when I first came down. Let's have meditation, and I'll just give a guided commentary for the first 10 minutes or so, and then we can have silence after that. In silence, I go deep into myself. Deeper than just my thoughts. Deeper than my feelings. Right to the core of my being. I, the soul, Baba's child, a being of peace, a being of purity, a being of truth. This is my original state of being. And in my awareness of my original form, I can focus on Baba. Simply bask in Baba's light and Baba's love. Dignity and self-respect of who I am. I meet Baba with love. Connect with Baba with respect and Baba's light fills the soul. And in this connection with Baba, the ocean of purity has allowed me to come back to my own original state of purity. My mind is clean. My buddhi is clear. And the light of truth has made my conscience powerful and strong. Baba's presence, my connection with Baba, fills me with power. And I can feel peace becoming a powerful force and energy that's able to radiate out into the world, connected with Baba. And from the ocean of peace, peace reaches the hearts of those in distress. And brings them calm and awakens faith in them so that they know that their parent cares for them and is available to help them. Connected with Baba, from the ocean of love, the waves of love awaken hope in those who have lost hope, they feel God's love reaching them, and they know God has neither forsaken them nor forgotten them. But God is ready to give them the power of His love. and the power of truth from God. Reach us out and give strength to those who face injustice. And they know that God is there and justice will return. Truth will prevail. My Buddhi Yoga, connected with Baba, my conscience clear and powerful, I continue to move on this pilgrimage of remembrance. And help others move in the same direction. And as we move together, we move towards that destination. Truth, of purity, of love. Of peace.